Welcome to the Jesus Image Podcast.
Malachi 4:2. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow like stall-fed calves. You shall grow fat, meaning the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I love this prophecy at the very end of the Old Testament. It sets us up for the coming Messiah. There's one coming, if you fear his name. Anybody fear the Lord here? He's the Son of Righteousness, and he shall arise with healing in his wings. Oh, another translation says, from him flow healing rays, like healing rays of light when Jesus comes in. And Jesus is glorified and exalted every time we worship him, when we fear his name. Aren't you glad that one came with healing in his wings, who longs to gather us, as he said, to the city of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I long to gather you as a hen gathers her chicks. Here you see the nature of Jesus. Matthew 4:23. Lord, heal your people even as I'm sharing your word. And look, the minute you feel that the Lord has healed you as I'm preaching, I want you just to lift your hand up and put it back down. You're just going to wave it at me. And you mark my words, as the word of God goes forth, the healing power of God will continue to flow. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Here, a third of the Lord's New Testament ministry is healing. Say this: Jesus cares about my body. This is one of the reasons the Lord Jesus wept at the tomb of Lazarus and wept at the casket of the son of the widow of Nain. Yes, he was broken in his heart that Mary and Martha lost their brother. Yes, he felt horrible for the mother who had already lost a husband and now her son. But there's another reason the Lord wept. It's because our bodies are important to him. We're not agnostics. Agnostics believe that everything that is material is evil. We don't believe that. We are Christians. And we believe that when the Lord created, he said it was good. The Lord Jesus cares about your physical well-being. I'm going to ask that as I teach the word, you limit movement. Say, Jesus loves me. He cares about my physical body. Thank you, Lord. In Matthew 8, verses 1 through 3. I love this passage because it tells us so much about the heart of Jesus. This morning I heard the Holy Spirit say, do not teach on healing. Lead them to the healer. It's interesting. You will not find a single teaching from the Lord that is some bullet point teaching on the topic of healing. It's not wrong to do it. It's okay to do it. It's right to do it. But there's a higher way, a more beautiful way. The reason Jesus didn't have to sit down and show them the formula of healing is because he is healing. And it's so wonderful, so holy, when we can look into the heart of Jesus and see beneath what he actually did. His character is revealed to us, and he comes in a most beautiful and loving way. Matthew 8, verses 1 through 3, the scripture says, and when he had come down from the mountain, I read this to you 2 weeks ago, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. What happens just prior to Matthew 8, Matthew 5, 6, and 7? The holiest sermon in history, the Sermon on the Mount. Now, I don't know if you've ever climbed a mountain. It's not exactly the easiest thing to do. I don't know if you've ever had to teach three chapters worth of a sermon, but I can tell you, by the end of Sunday morning, I am wiped out. By the end of Sunday night, I don't want to see anybody for 24 hours. And what I preach is nothing in comparison to Matthew 5, 6, and 7. The physical effort alone is incredible. And so now Jesus is coming down the mountain, not down a hill, down the mountain after teaching, and a leper comes to him when most people would have turned him away. Most people would have said, not now, I'm too wiped out. But not Jesus. Aren't you grateful? And I don't know if you've ever gone up a massive hill or mountain, but it's usually harder coming down once you've climbed it. Here Jesus pours his heart out, teaches the Beatitudes, and somebody comes up to him who is untouchable according to the law, who should be separate, and Jesus runs toward him and stretches out his hand. As I said 2 weeks ago, he first touched him and then prayed over him. That tells me something about Jesus. It tells me he couldn't wait to get his hands on the person that nobody wanted to touch. There are people in the room this morning who feel shame because of their healing, shame because of their brokenness. You feel like you don't belong because people are having to take care of you and you've become a burden. I want to tell you unequivocally, you are not a burden to Jesus. Jesus loves you. Say that out loud. Jesus loves me. Amazing. And after Jesus heals the leper in Matthew 8, verses 5 through 17, share a beautiful story with us. It says, when Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home paralyzed and in terrible suffering. Jesus said to him, I will go and heal him. The Lord's healing people right now. I can feel fire on my body. The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. And I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was astonished and said to those following him, I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from east and west and take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go, it will be done just as you believed it would. And his servant was healed at that very hour when Jesus came into Peter's house. Listen, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in a bed with fever. So he heals the leper. A few verses later, sends the word. And I want you to notice that here, the centurion servant says, you can just speak it and it'll happen. I understand authority. In another passage, a woman who many would say her name was Lydia, the woman with the issue of blood, reaches out to touch the hem of his garment. And prior to touching the hem of his garment, she says within herself, if I may but touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. And that's how she got healed. Here, The request is just send the word. And Jesus is okay with that. He sends the word and the child gets healed. What's the point? The point is this. Jesus wants to heal so badly that he'll send the word, he'll touch the leper, he'll let somebody touch him, he'll spit in mud, he'll spit on a tongue, he'll put mud in the eyes. Why so many methods? Because of his massive heart to heal the sick. Nobody has to leave here today the same. Say, Jesus loves me. God bless you. Jesus loves me. Did you just get healed up there? Okay, we will pray. Say, Jesus loves me. He heals us because he loves us. When Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in a bed with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she got up and began to wait on him. What a loving Lord. After he heals Peter's mother-in-law, which is his house, by the way, he lived with Peter. His house became a healing house. Lord, let this place be an even greater healing house where you live. Say amen. When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, to his own house. Anyone want that to happen at your house? Anyone want the whole village to show up to your front door? Probably not. Jesus allowed it. And he drove out the spirits with a word, and he healed all the sick. Say, all the sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and carried our diseases. Say, thank you, Jesus. He's a healing Savior. I said he's a healing Savior. I used to hear Pastor Benny say all the time, the front of the cross speaks salvation. The back of the cross speaks healing. Of course, the entirety of the cross is salvific. But I love what he's getting at. He's basically pointing us toward the stripes of Jesus. Not wanting us to forget that yes, our sins are washed away. But when we speak of the word salvation biblically, it transcends the mere washing away of sin. It is not limited to the removal of sin, though that's very important. When we speak of salvation, we speak of being filled with the Holy Spirit, becoming the body of the Lord Jesus, becoming his temple. We speak of the renewed mind, but we also speak of healed bodies. This is part of salvation. As John writes in his epistle, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health." How? Even as your soul prospers. In other words, the soul, when it is renewed, when the mind is renewed, should bring healing and health to the entire body. Nothing in this room is too big for Jesus. Nothing. I said nothing. No tumor, no diagnosis, no curse, no family line issue, no hereditary issue. Nothing, nothing is too powerful for Jesus. The priests dipped their foot in the Jordan River when the Israelites crossed over under the guidance of Joshua. How many of you know we serve the true Joshua, Yehoshua, the one who crosses us over into the promised land? And the Bible says that the river stood up like a heap when the ark came in. And who was that ark but Jesus himself? Who is our ark today? What's the point? When Jesus steps into your life, the hereditary stuff ends with you. It ends with you. The water stands at a heap this morning. In Jesus' name. Do you receive that? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I love this one. Matthew 9, verses 1 through 8. I'm going to begin praying for you here in a moment. Now, as I'm teaching, The reason I'm saying this is because I'm feeling this. Many of you will begin to feel like the warmth of the Spirit upon you. Sometimes you just feel the quickening of faith. Sometimes it's just like the lights go on. Sometimes you feel like a heavy, beautiful presence come upon you. Sometimes the pain is just gone. Sometimes there's a deep knowing deep within your soul, like that woman with the issue of blood who knew that her fount had dried up. She knew it. And sometimes it's just the deepest peace that you didn't have before. The moment the Holy Spirit begins to touch you, give Him your attention. Whether it's tangibly felt or it's spiritually known in the heart, give Him your attention. When the Lord is present the way He is this morning and the Word of God is being taught, it is a powerful, life-changing combination. The Bible says in Matthew 9, verses 1 through 8, that He got into a boat. He crossed over and came to His own city. And behold, they brought to Him a paralytic lying on a bed. And when Jesus saw their faith, He said to the paralytic, maybe there's someone with you this morning. Maybe you feel like they don't have the faith. Maybe you feel like they don't believe at all that Jesus wants to heal them. Why don't you stand in the gap right now? Why don't you become a bridge of faith? Notice here that Jesus sees their faith, not the paralytic's faith. The friends of the paralytic carried faith. And He said to the paralytic, "Son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you." And at once some of the scribes said within themselves, "This man blasphemes." But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Arise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins." Then He said to the paralytic, "Arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." And he arose and departed to his house. Now when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, who had given power, such power, to men. I'm going to say something maybe you've never heard before. If God can deal with your sin, He can easily deal with your sickness. That's why Jesus said that. "Son, your sins are forgiven you." And then He answered the religious, "So that you might know that the Son of Man has the power to forgive sin, get up and walk home." What's the point? If Jesus can deal with sin, He can deal with an allergy. You see, sin is the root. Sin is the origin of this whole thing. It's not to say that you sinned and brought on a certain sickness. Not what I'm saying at all. Sometimes that's true. Sometimes that happens. But I'm not saying that. It's not a blanket statement I'm making. What I'm saying is this: the origin of all of the suffering of humanity finds itself, the origin is in the fall. The root system is man's rebellion. Prior to that, there was no such thing as sickness. And so if God can deal with our sin, has anyone been liberated this morning? Anyone remember their old life that God freed them from? Raise your hand if you do. Anyone remember being addicted and you're not anymore? Raise your hand if you remember that. Anyone remember the person you need to be, that you used to be, compared to the person you are now? How many of you think God accomplished a great work? You say, how weighty, how powerful was sin? How amazing is the cross? That's the way I would answer you. Did sin require much to destroy it? You tell me. Did Jesus not go through much? If He could deal with sin, He can deal with your sickness. What's the point? What's the point? When our sin is dealt with, which it has been, oftentimes the healing power of the Holy Spirit begins to flow. And I love the fact that Jesus said, oh, if you don't think I can forgive sin, get up and walk.
If you enjoyed this podcast, you can like and subscribe to help us continue to reach people around the world with the gospel. Give today at jesusimage.tv/give. You can also join us in person or online every Sunday at Jesus Image Church. For more information on Jesus Image, events, Jesus School, and resources, visit jesusimage.tv.